Hi, and welcome to Dying to Ask the Road to Paris. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick. Quick note, you have a lot of different ways to enjoy the podcast these days. So obviously, we've been having an audio podcast, which is where podcasts came from, for years now. So you can get the podcast on any of your major podcast platforms, primarily Apple and Spotify. Apple is where most people seem to listen to us. But we also have a YouTube version of the podcast as well. And actually, it's become kind of a high production thing. So if you ever listen to one of these episodes and you think, wow, I wonder what that person looks like, or I wish I could see that interaction there, you can. So search KCRA YouTube Dying to Ask Road to Paris, and a whole bunch of episodes will come up. So check them out. Let me know what you think. And I'm curious to know which of those you prefer. Personally, I still like podcasts in my ear, but a lot of people do like to just watch them in their computer. So we're making it easy for everybody and giving you lots of options. Okay, back to today's show. Today we're talking about the American dream and the Olympic dream, which collide in a brand new book called All in Stride. It comes out here just at the beginning of April, just in time for the Paris Olympics. Excellent timing here. The author is a woman named Johanna Garten, and her book is about two runners who had emigrated from Kenya many years ago, independent of each other, went to college, ran in college, met, fell in love, and then both pursued an American Olympic dream. Johanna is a longtime Colorado-based endurance sports writer, and she met the couple in Denver. I love this story because there are a lot of times that you'll see an athlete on Team USA, and it's that backstory of finding out where this person came from and how much sacrifice went into them making that American team that just adds that little something extra. So I know you're going to see lots of athletes like that this summer. And I just wanted you to hear the story of what it actually takes to do it, because it is a lot more than just pursuing that sport. It's pushing through a lot of things, because like with this couple, their American dream turned into the Olympic dream as they were both pushing to represent their new country. But the thing is, their adjustment to American culture wasn't easy on lots of different levels, some of them obvious, some of them not. And at times, their pursuit included brushes with bigotry and intolerance. And so on this show, you're going to hear about how Johanna met this couple, why she decided to write about them, and what she hopes you'll get out of their story. Johanna started her career as an immigration lawyer, but she only did that for like 5 seconds. She points out she was not a lawyer for very long. The truth is, she, like I, just loved distance running, and that's what won out career-wise. She transitioned to doing sports writing, and she writes mainly about endurance sports. She ran for Syracuse University herself as a walk-on. That's impressive. And she's run more than 20 marathons, including 5 Boston marathons. And this is so cool. She even made it to Everest Base Camp in 2022. Talk about a post-pandemic goal. That is awesome. On this Dying to Ask, what it's like when the American dream and the Olympic dream collide, the role the U.S. Army plays in helping some athletes get to the Olympics, and the special role that Team USA's immigrant athletes play in the Olympic experience. I welcome Johanna Garten to this week's Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris. Olympians. They're just different. Sure, they're fitter and faster, but they're mentally different too. Because when the body breaks down, the Olympic mindset takes over. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I've traveled to 10 Olympics for Hearst Television with my partner, Mike Domolog. But Domi and I were home for the last two games because of the pandemic. But this summer, the Olympics are back in all their glory, and we're going to Paris. Fans in the stands, the full athlete experience, and it's Paris! For the end. Join us for the backstories of how Team USA gets to the top of a podium and how you can add a little Olympic edge in your life. Johanna, welcome to the Dying to Ask podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I'm very excited about your book. Where did the original idea come to write about this couple?
Well, I myself am a distance runner. So a running narrative was something that I always wanted to sort of dive into. I'm a sports writer. My last book was about a mountain climber, but I thought, oh, this next one should be about running because I'm a runner. And so I live out in Colorado. I heard about a program that was part of the U.S. Army based in Colorado Springs that sort of combined soldiers in the Army with training to become world-class athletes. And so I went down to one of their workouts and met a couple of the athletes and just kind of fell in love with.
Before we talk about the athletes, talk a little bit about this program, because I've done stories about this and it's really amazing because it has like a two-prong reason. One is to encourage these athletes to pursue a dream. And then the other one is to really draw attention to the work that the U.S. Army does.
Yes, absolutely. So, and oftentimes this is sort of the trajectory that Kenyan-born athletes, particularly distance runners, take. They come to the United States on distance running scholarships. And then when they graduate college, they have a choice. Do they go back to Kenya or do they try to find a way to stay in the United States and pursue a life here? And so in the case of these two athletes, they chose to stay here and felt that they wanted to give back to the United States for allowing them to come and pursue their dream of running in college. And the way they did that was by joining the US Army to serve as soldiers. And then in the course of joining the Army and going through basic training in the way that all regular soldiers do, they learned about this program, which basically trains soldiers to become world-class athletes. And so they were able to join this unit of the Army and pursue that athletic dream.
It gives you chills just thinking about kind of the trajectory of what happened. So the first person that you meet is Shadrach. So tell us a little bit about Shadrach.
That's right. Yes. So Shadi was born in a small village in rural Kenya, farming community, and came to the United States again on a distance running scholarship. He eventually ran for Oklahoma State University, won a national championship in cross country with his team, and graduated college and went right into basic training. And eventually, after basic training, was transferred into this world-class athlete program, where he began training in about 2014. And his job in the Army was to train to become an incredible distance runner.
Interesting. Okay, so you meet Shadrach and he's telling you the story, and you're like, ding, 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 I've got my person. But then he says to you,
Yes. So at the time I met him, I was sitting in the stands watching a track workout of this unit, and he came up and talked to me. He was injured at the time, and he was telling me his story. And he said, my story is actually very similar to that of my wife, Elvin, who's right there on the track running 800 meter reps. And I said, oh my gosh, you're married to another athlete? And he said, yes, I am. She also was born in Kenya, came here also on a distance running scholarship, went to University of Arizona. We met in college in the United States, fell in love, and both joined the Army. And that's where we sort of started the journey of the book.
it's like storytelling gold. It's like it doesn't line up any. Central casting just like handed you to delightful characters. So you start interviewing them, you start following their story, and the reality is like they're going for an Olympics to represent Team USA.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's the dream, right? Come to the United States, make a life, and then to be able to compete for your new home country, as an American citizen, that really was the dream for both of them. So that's the road they went down right after college. And for Shadrach, he was able to achieve that dream in 2016. He was able to join the Olympic team and make the 10,000 meter team.
So it's interesting, you've got this story of their Olympic dream, but you also have at the same time this interesting love story. And it's a love story between two people, but it's also this love story for America as well.
It is. It was so interesting for me to dive into those parallel journeys, the athletic journey, and then also the dream of coming to the United States and making a life. And, it's a journey that was not easy, to be fair. I think a lot of people have this notion that immigrants come to the United States and then everything is hunky-dory and wonderful. And actually, things are very rough. There have been a lot of challenges for both of them along the way, not the least of which is that they had to leave all of their friends and family in their home country and come here to the United States. So it's been very challenging, that journey, both athletically and personally. So it
Can we
was
go
great to
into some of those
follow.
challenges? Because one of the challenges that they both ran into that you write about is bigotry.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That's something that I think really surprised them. They sort of describe living in Kenya and not really understanding racism and what that was, and that that was a thing in the United States. So coming here, that's been, super challenging for them. The perception that they aren't, quote unquote, real Americans has been very hard for them to overcome, even though they both achieved American citizenship. So I think that's something that they've had to deal with constantly and probably always will.
How do they reconcile that part of their story, especially for Shadrach, who has worn the colors of his new country and also heard its anthem while marching in an opening ceremony?
Yeah, I think they realize that there is no perfect place and perfect home in this world. That when they left Kenya, they very much had to make a choice that there were going to be sacrifices and that a life in Kenya would have allowed them to pursue one thing and one path with many different challenges, but that life in the United States, they now realize, has its own set of challenges and circumstances, and that all they can do is kind of learn how to navigate that and then be able to teach those lessons to their children. They have a young son now, so I think they're taking those lessons they've learned from being here and trying to pass those on to him.
Did you learn a lot about kind of the entree into running that so many, there's so much that's been written about kind of the Kenyan lore of long distance running and middle distance running and how kids are helped from a very early age to become these great running stars. What did you learn about what their childhood was like that as a runner kind of opened your eyes in a different way?
Yes. So they had the kind of lives that I think a lot of us hear about. I think now it's not quite as intense in terms of the running to school barefoot piece
Right.
because of technology and cars and whatnot. That doesn't happen quite as much now, but certainly when they were both growing up, that is how they grew up. Both Elvin and Shadrach lived in small villages, and they literally ran to school barefoot every day throughout their childhood, putting many, many miles on their legs. And so developing their athletic bodies without really knowing that they were doing that. Yeah, so they became gifted in running from a very early age. And you know that neither of them participated in high school track and field or high school cross country, nothing like that. They both sort of just dove into running after high school and spent a few months kind of figuring out if they were good at it. And it was determined that they both were quite good at it.
Isn't it remarkable that that can still happen? I mean, you think about the way our youth sports complex works in this country now, where you're expected to really focus in on a sport before you hit puberty, which is crazy when you think about it. The idea that you would
Crazy.
know at 11 or 12 that water polo is going to be your thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was actually to their benefit because when they were growing up, they were running to school, but they were also working in the field and they were playing soccer with friends and they were focusing on kind of just eating and growing their bones. And so they weren't really focused on that one thing that I think perhaps if they had been from a very early age and they knew that this is what it was going to be, they could have very easily gotten burned out, I think.
Yeah, they both competed in the US Olympic marathon trials at the beginning of February.
They did. They did. They both ran in Orlando at the marathon trials. Yeah.
Do either of them have plans to go to the track and field trials this year?
I don't think so. They have both spent a lot of time on the track, and I think that they've made that leap from the track to the marathon now. They're both kind of addicted to that
Committed.
marathon distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really kind
Yeah.
of one or the other, given the
Yeah.
type of training, for
Yeah,
sure.
it is. It is.
It's interesting sometimes when you see, that parade of athletes and when you start learning about the different American athletes, it's interesting to find out how many are immigrants. It's not a huge number, but there are quite a few. And one thing when people say, "Oh, I'm really surprised that we have so many people who have come from other countries and are now competing for us," I always remind people there are a lot of Americans fielding other teams, people who have dual citizenship and countries who come looking for athletes who might be able to represent their heritage. It
Yeah.
goes both ways. And it's
Yeah,
something to
that's
think about
true.
this summer.
Yeah, that's true. I actually forget about that as well. But every now and then you sort of hear about an athlete who is American born but has dual citizenship, but all of a sudden is competing for another country. And it is kind of this moment of like, hey, well, that's actually kind of cool.
It's very cool. And then
Yeah.
sometimes it can actually be very lucrative because other countries offer their athletes far better financial benefits than we're able to in this country.
Yes, that's
So it's a
true.
weird, kind of give and take.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Looking ahead to the Paris Olympics, I mean, this to me is such a great book to kind of get people excited about it. What are you excited about for this summer?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm most excited for women's distance running. As a runner, I just am so loving this moment in American long distance running, particularly the women. And we've got so many just fabulous women competing. So I'm definitely looking forward to the women's marathon and seeing how our team does, and all of those events that are on the track, particularly the 5 and the 10,000. I'm really looking forward to. I'm very jealous of you.
Well, you'll get to enjoy it this summer after your whole book launch. So the book is coming out in early April. What do you have planned to get the word out about the book?
Yes, coming out April 2nd, and I will actually be going out to Boston the week of the Boston Marathon to do a bunch of different events out there. Catherine Switzer, who you probably know, was the one who wrote my foreword, and she has been just incredibly gracious to me. We both went to Syracuse University and ran for Syracuse University, so we're sort of simpatico, and we are going out to do a bunch of events the week of the Boston Marathon to
Oh,
release
that's
the
great.
book. So,
Well, that is the way to do it. I love that. And
yeah.
how about running wise? What are you doing these days?
Yes, I don't have anything planned, but I like to say that I always like to be sort of half marathon ready if something pops up.
You know what I call it? I call it living in the taper.
Oh, that's good. I
So
might
if
steal
you
that.
space enough of your big races around the year, you're just living in the taper. Just
Yeah.
do enough to get out there and feel good at the end of the day.
That's good.
That might be my book when I eventually
Yeah.
write it, Living in the
Yeah.
Taper. Well,
Yeah.
thank you so much. It's been really lovely to get to talk to you, and I really look forward to digging in deep to the book. And I hope a lot of people will check it out as they get into their pre-Olympic prep, their training before the Paris Olympics actually start.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much, Deirdre.
Absolutely. What are good ways for people to keep up with you and the events on social media?
Let's see. My website is joannagarton.com, JoannaGarton.com. And I'm mostly on Instagram. Joanna Garten Books is where I am.
Thanks for listening. You can find our podcast, Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris, wherever podcasts are found. We're hearing from athletes and experts ahead of the games.